Good morning. Today is Wednesday, April 13th, 112th day of the new year. We're waking up in some sort. Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. Nice to see you again.
Morning, Brian.
Yeah, yawns to you too, baby.
I'm pretty comfortable over here.
Yeah, apparently I'm not instilling an awful lot of fear. Here we go. This comes from Samuel Johnson, 1751. He who endeavors to please must appear pleased. I think Quimby's quote is fake it till you make it.
So or the clown should be giggling at all times.
Yeah, no kidding. Or crying, huh?
Yeah.
Anymore. So what have you been doing with yourself the last 3 or 4 months?
Oh, been busy.
I mean, you haven't been running for office. You haven't been campaigning. You haven't been eating rubber chickens.
There was a lady that was the mayor of this small town for 36 years. And they asked her why. How did she become mayor for 36 years? She says, I campaign every day. If you do the job, you're campaigning. But the thing is, if you do the job, you're doing the right thing. And I'd like to think that's what I've done. So,
Is that a unanimous decision or just a plural opinion?
Somebody told me I only needed 50% plus one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Good.
I'd hopefully like better numbers than that. Yeah. But I mean, it's a challenging job. It's a fun job.
Was it disappointing that you didn't get a chance to campaign?
Not as the door to door and things like that is nice. But I spend a lot of time out in the community anyway, but besides the job, doing some of the civic things and things like that. So I connect with the community on a pretty regular basis, and I get out there quite a bit. So I feel like I'm campaigning every day, like I said. But no, yeah.
Okay.
The challenge of a campaign, yeah. But
the win-lose.
Yeah. But the other thing is, right now things are so busy, it's nice to be focused on the job rather than working on getting the job.
Yeah, lose the attention.
And that's the biggest thing I see with all politics. I mean, state, federal. I mean, these two-year terms, the minute the guy gets elected, he's having a fundraiser the next week, So, and that takes a lot away from what the job needs to be done, and that's, making life better for the citizens of the communities. So
I would imagine, though, that not having an opportunity to kind of strut a little bit and get the feedback, not quite what I was hoping for.
I get a lot of feedback.
Yeah, I bet you do.
But, people aren't afraid. I mean, we get the emails and the phone calls and all that. But you're exactly right.
But you don't get the attaboys as often. People will complain about the Planning Commission decisions if it doesn't go the way that they interpret it. Same thing when you get the attaboys or the kick in the shins. Those are people coming from a perspective most times rather than just the regular guy going, good job.
I appreciate
what you've been doing.
And the other day, I'm good for 3 months. I had a lady come up to me and she says, I love watching you on TV. I like how you approach situations and I love the job you're doing. And she's lived here her whole life and she says, I really appreciate all the work you put into our community.
TV?
Said none. Didn't know her. She watched it on TV. But I mean, what's that?
We got to think about this one.
But we're on radio too now with the open.
Now that works. I understand that one.
But she was so genuine, and I sat there and says, "Well, I can't say she gets it because maybe she's wrong, but it made me feel good." And for all the people that give you hell for every little thing, it didn't really bother me. I mean, it makes up for that, and it was kind of a neat thing.
I remember what Roger Redoni had said years ago. He said, if everybody isn't mad at me twice a year, I'm not doing my job.
No. And Roger, it's one of the reasons I ran, because I was hoping to serve with Roger at one time. And he's right. But he says the best decision you make is the one that maybe does piss off one of your best friends, but the next day they'll still buy you coffee.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, the whole concept of campaigning, I would think, is probably as accurate a reflection of or a barometer for how am I doing? If you don't know who I am, but you're happy, I'm happy. If you know who I am and you're happy, I'm happy. How do you now, since there isn't that opportunity for you and you're not having somebody taking the shots and you don't have people positioning themselves or aligning themselves with other perspectives, how do you know that you're just not Emperor's New Clothes, that you really are getting stuff done?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, I got to go in early. The governor appointed me when, you know, because Jimmy was going to go in for his treatments, and he's up Klamath in Washington today, so he's doing good, so that's always fun.
Bring him in sometime.
I will. Bring him in. Because, you know, we on a regular basis, I go have breakfast with him or coffee in or stop by his house, and the words of wisdom from the master is always a good thing to have, and him and Jackie are so genuine in giving their opinions and helping me out, so because he has such a history. But, again, I've almost been in the job for 4 years now, and so I'm not as new.
Four.
You know, 4 years. Yeah, really. And so it's not as new to me. I'm kind of, you know,
I'm sure you understand the lay of the land.
The concept and everything else. So I know the situations that I've upset people at, because, boy, they've, like, you know, with the day of social media and everything else, I always think 25 years ago it must have been nice. They'd had to send you a letter, and if nobody wanted to argue and send you a letter, that was a good thing, you know.
Do you pay attention to social media?
To my emails, to the perimeter stuff, the blogs or bogs or whatever they're called. No, not very much. Chris Crawford told me years ago. He said, "Don't pay attention to that, Rex." And he's no longer with us, but I listens to his words. You know, people point out stuff and say, "Hey, this is being said. This is being said." And I mean, they can say anything they want under the auspice of anonymous, and I always say, well, that's a pretty good thing. That's the same guy that throws a water balloon at you from a car going 30 miles an hour. That's, you know,
they throw eggs at me.
Yeah. But, you know, so I don't put, what I do is I do the people that I see on day-to-day basis. I go in the office every day. I'm at the courthouse. I see a lot of people, and people know they can come up and pretty much tell me what they feel, and they do, but they also tell you when things are going right, and we get it at the meetings.
So you are getting the positive feedback as well.
Yeah, we get the positive, we get the negative. But the thing is, you can't operate without the negative. The negative has got that narrative is very good, because it's pretty amazing, the words of wisdom. I mean, I used to listen to Aldo Bongio every time he talked, because little pearls of wisdom would come popping out of him. And I love Aldo. I think, you know, but he had no dog in the fight. He just thought things should be different in his perspective. And not necessarily everybody agrees with that perspective, but we all have those people coming into our meetings now who have a different perspective and want to speak. And that's the great thing about our institution. No matter what your thoughts are, you get your 3 minutes every week. And you can come up and say what you feel, whether, you know, whether we're doing a lousy job, great job, or just what you think we should do. And that's the best thing. Every week you do have a forum. You're not elected. You're not anything. You just get to come up and speak your piece. And then they can also email and write the letters and everything else, and phone calls. I mean, I return 15, 20 phone calls a day sometimes, and I get them from some people. So many people said, "I've never done this before," and I feel so great when somebody says, "I've never done this before, but I felt I could call you." That's when you know you're being effective. Even though they're chewing you out, they felt comfortable enough to tell you, "I think you missed on that one," or "This is the way I do it," and then you know you're being successful, because there you goes your point. Even though you maybe did something they didn't like, they felt comfortable enough to call you up and say, "Hey, can we talk about it?"
And that's normally what I would suspect you get on the campaign trail.
Oh,
people feel comfortable. So I was wondering if you were missing something because you weren't out there exposed on a regular weekly basis during a campaign. But it sounds like
you
got that one nailed.
Yeah, I have two auctions last weekend, an auction this weekend, and they're from very different effects in different areas. So you get a lot of input at those things, and just being out in the public and stuff like that. And
how tough is it to get out? Not to stay behind the desk.
It's
not to go to the meetings all the time.
It's tough for me. I'm always at the office, you know, and it's nice for me because my district is part of Eureka. Like Virginia, it's part of Eureka. You know, she's got 80% of it. I maybe have 20, and I don't know if that number, it's something like that. And then I go south from there. I'm kind of like, I think it's Henderson Street South. I've got pretty much everything. She's got a little bit of that and stuff like that. And it helps that I get to work with somebody like Virginia that we can work in tandem. It doesn't matter. We work very well together. We call each other. We let things, you know, we let go on. She works. She's a lot like, she works really hard too at the job. So we can run on things like that. But like Ryan works a lot out in his district, because there's no reason, if somebody calls him and says, hey, I got a problem over here, there's no reason for him to run back and forth. You know, Estelle amazes me how often she comes into the office, but she's got her Garberville offices on Wednesdays, I believe. Our Garberville office is on Thursday afternoon. She has Fortuna offices on Thursday morning. So she gets, and she's busy. I stop by and see her. If I'm down in my district, I run over to Fortuna and see her.
I would think the second would be the most challenging district, just because of the size and the travel. And even when you're in district, you're still 45 minutes from your office.
Yeah.
That's tough.
And she's got a Garberville office, and she's down there. So she's kind of like a lot like Roy. Roy lived down there. You know, Roger was kind of in between, you know, coming off the ridge there and things like that. With Cliff being right in Fortuna, so it was probably a little bit harder for him to go to Garberville and then come back and then to town and stuff. So Estelle's done a really great job of balancing that really well with the urban, you know, Fortuna, and then getting in back to Redway and Alder Point and that end of the second. So
it's funny, you think each is the same, and each is so different.
It really is.
Yeah. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone, the unchallenged one. Talk shop presented by Redek and by CDH Penning. Okay, let me rescind that. The unopposed one. I think you have challenges.
I have lots of challenges. And, Ryan, we talked earlier before we went on the air about people thought that maybe I wasn't going to run again because I made a comment to somebody one time that I says, I won't make decisions making them depend on my next election about how it's going to affect my next. You make decisions long term, but how it's going to affect long term.
You don't set yourself up to look good down the road.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. And that's probably the same thing I'm going to do this time. It is the same thing I may do again this time. But I enjoy the job. I enjoy the people. I really enjoy the people I work with, both the staff and my fellow supervisors. So it that's the best part about it. And you know,
I think it'd be a fun job to have. I'm not sure it'd be a fun job to get.
Jimmy and I talked. Originally he said he was going to do two terms, and then he did a third term. Because Rex, every time you open the door, you start a new project, and sometimes you just want to finish your projects. And so
I came to conclusion. Yeah,
and I could see myself, you know, in 4 years, who knows? You know, I wouldn't say I'm never going to run again. I'm not going to say I am, but, you know, but it is.
There's enough time between here and there.
Exactly. And when you get things done, it does work. It does work for you when you see things being accomplished. You know, it's also very frustrating when you get people upset because you can't give them enough money. You can't give them that building permit. You can't do that because there is a reason, you know, that it doesn't fit. But it's fun to try to help people in those, you know, avenues.
How do you know, and I guess this would be as somebody who's been around the block now a couple of times, how do you know what you can do and what you can't do? Not based on outcome, but based on structure. How do you know where the line is? And we were talking a little earlier about roads.
I hear.
I'm sure that Tom doesn't want to see you, Tom Madsen, see you walk into the building, say, Tom, I've got a situation. We've got a situation. Okay. And a lot of department heads probably wouldn't. I mean, you can't go into John Bartholomew's and do that because he's an elected. Okay. But there's few departments where you could have that kind of influence or you'd even think about it. How do you know where the line is? How do you know?
Well, in my case, you cross it and get in trouble for it, and then you realize you test the waters.
It's behind you then.
Yeah. I said, whoops, okay. That was wrong. I'll tell you, all of our department heads right now, The people we're working with are really, they have the same goal. They want to make things better. They understand we have the same constraints. Money is a huge constraint to us. I mean, on roads, on everything. Connie Beck, the new director at DHHS, she's doing a great job. We made the right choice there. You know, and the way everything worked out, it was perfect. And she's doing a great job. We have a couple things coming up in the next, well, you'll start hearing them in the next day or two. You're going to start hearing some of this stuff. We've got some businessmen that are going to help us work on the homeless issue. It's people you wouldn't normally think would want to get involved, but they're going to step up and help for a while, while, you know, the city and the county, as we get through this with the Palco Marsh issues and things like that. Virginia was just...
Yeah, boy, talk about a powder keg.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. But we're looking at a whole bunch of different avenues. We're looking at the TAP program, being more lenient, getting people back to home, back so their families can help them. That's a successful way to do it. We also need to look at the people that are coming in. Why are they coming in? You don't want to say it, but who's sending them here? Why are they coming here? Are they being directed to come here by other places? We don't know that, but we've got to get those answers because we hear maybe that's part of the problem. I would
imagine the informal network is such that they know where it's soft and they know where it's easy.
Yeah, and we don't want to be considered not necessarily a dumping ground, but a place where they can come and get things. So, and we don't offer anything more than any other county, so that shouldn't be an issue. So. The big problem
But the cultural laissez-faire that we have.
It becomes a big issue. It's there. The trimmigrant part of it is a big issue. We get a lot of that. And we need to find out. I'm hoping maybe some of this quasi-legalization on the medical side, maybe on the other side, where we can start being a little more proactive, maybe that will stop that. I don't know.
Well, that's certainly one perspective. If it becomes more business-like, and more regulated, and those that don't want to be known for where they are, they're not going to be here.
Well,
because they'd have to register.
Yep, they have to pay their way.
Payroll taxes and the whole nine yards. So maybe becoming a business, maybe that's the shining, or the silver lining on this thing.
And they haven't had a big percentage enroll, but it's a slow and steady process. And you still have the auspice of the feds over you, and we can't say they won't bother you. From what I hear, we don't think there's going to be an issue with the feds, but we don't speak for the feds. So, I mean, some of these people are a little hesitant for that reason. I mean, because it is an industry that, has not always been accepted.
So being as environmentally sensitive and similar perspective, why isn't Huffman out in front of this thing? I mean, you would think that Humboldt County's congressman, if it ever is going to get federally legalized, or at least brought up, would be out in front.
I think we are very fortunate, and I think he is, and in all deference to him, I think he's kind of stepped back and let our assemblyman, Jim Woods, and our state senator, Mike McGuire, take the charge on this on the state level.
I understand the state level.
Yeah.
100%.
No.
But at the federal level, why isn't...
I firmly believe, I thought for sure I would have bet the farm that President Obama was going to alleviate, maybe even legalize it and everything else. And then a wise sage told me, he says he's not going to do that. He doesn't want to lose the Bible Belt for all the people, all the Democrats that are running for Senate and Congress, because you would lose the Bible Belt. And I go, it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. Yeah. I don't know if that's it. I don't know enough of their stuff back there. But, I mean, it is still... The Antichrist back in the Bible Belt, so that there's probably a pretty good case that he does not want to rock that apple cart.
Well, maybe you're not going to bet the farm. Maybe you'll just sell it to the international drug cartel guys.
That's always a
gosh, I keep hearing stories, and it's frightening stuff too. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:47. Back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, you kind of had a cool opportunity yesterday to, I guess, be recognized a little bit.
Well, I think it's not as much to be recognized as just to be represent.
Or included, or might
represent
be another term.
And included, as, you know, represent especially Humboldt County and our rural counties. And this both goes from sitting on, you know, being second vice chair of rural counties, RCRC, and Senator McGuire's office called and asked if I'd come speak to the natural resources hearing on SB 1188, which is the PILT, the payment in lieu of taxes, so we can get that money flowing back like it used to be before our 2009-2008.
So why is there an argument about that? I thought that was kind of like locked down. This is what we're going to do because you can't cut trees anymore, cast in stone, untouchable. Thank you very much.
Well, and we have fishing game lands, you know, but a lot
of
state parks,
yeah.
And you know where we recreate. We've, you know, and so the PILT money. I mean, there is. I wish I had the figures in front of me. I've got them all, but I mean, $50-60 million owed. I think there's $500,000-600,000 owed to Humboldt County. Some of these other counties have a lot more money owed to them.
Well,
now the
Trinity
counties
County.
That have a lot more. Your Trinity. Trinity's got a lot of federal PILT owed to them and state PILT. And it's a big deal. Percentage-wise, it's the same thing to everybody's budget. It's the same little bit. I mean, ours is three sheriff deputies, if we want to break it out, or four or five. It's, you know, it's almost $500,000. So anyway, got to speak, you know, and used RCRC, Humboldt County's, and his office words, and represent. And it's good to be on the state stage. We're small, but it's nice to have a voice. That's one of the biggest things. We always say is we don't have a voice, you know, when you're competing against Los Angeles.
So how did you restrain yourself instead of calling them lazy bums and thieves of taking the money and not funding the way that, I mean, I would have a very difficult time in not saying, honorable people honor their agreements.
Last time I spoke in front of them, there were 11 guys. I took them all T-shirts from Humboldt. Just says, here, wear this. Know where I'm from, and it was pretty funny. He says, do we consider this a bribe? I says, no, this is a thank you for listening to us. So it was pretty funny.
But, no bribe. No, I don't think you're that cheap.
Nobody had ever done that before. So, no, I appreciate the opportunity, and it goes to show the representation we have on the state level with Senator McGuire. Remembering that, hey, we'd love for you to come talk, especially since you're on the chairs of RCRC, which represents 37 rural counties, you know, 9% of the population, 53% of the landmass.
Okay, so 37 counties are represented.
Out of 58.
34 are smart, and 3 decide that they want to be running this thing. You figure that one out, everybody. Thanks for coming by, Rex. Nice to see you again, bud.
Good to be back.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.